You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
This week, I'm joined by Sam to talk about the pros and cons and differences between strengths and weaknesses for pen and paper character sheets and digital character sheets like D&D Beyond. Plus, I'll give you some hints and tips on why I think you should use pen and paper and then transition to digital. Welcome to We Speak Common. Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of the D&D podcast for everyone, because here we speak common. This is the show brought to you in partnership with the Dice Dungeon, who are the one-stop shop for all things you need to play Dungeons & Dragons, whether it's a beautiful premium set of D&D dice, maybe metal, resin, or glass, or even the books to, you know, run the game. I mean, that would be good, wouldn't it? They've got literally everything. Go and check out their store. There's a link in our description below, and you can get 10% off your entire order when you use the code WeSpeakCommon at checkout. That's WeSpeakCommon for 10% off your entire order. The more you spend, the more you save. We're also brought to you in partnership with Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, add a .com on the end. That's their website, and you can go over there if you're not very good at describing things. I know it's a shock that that's what they do, but they describe things. They've got professional creative writers putting in the effort to describe scenes of locations, monsters, people, spells, items. Honestly, the list goes on. There's over 7,500 scenes available if you subscribe right now, and you can use the code COMMON at checkout to get 10% off your monthly subscription for the first 2 years that you are an active subscribed member. There's a link in the description below. That's Describe, D-S-C-R-Y-B. Right, it is another week. It is another Dungeons and Dragons podcast. And this week, oh boy, oh, the gloves are coming off. Let's welcome Sam to the boxing ring. Hello, mate.
Oh, no. I'm not prepared. I didn't even put my robe on. You didn't even give me time.
Sorry, I warned you. I didn't want to give you any false hopes that you might win this debate, and I didn't want you to come in with like entrance music, because that would just hype everyone up too much.
Well, I've actually been told in the past that I'm a really good master debater.
For fuck's sake.
I think I've got this. Sorry, I have to bring the bar down whenever I'm on. I have to bring it straight down.
You really don't. It's just something you tend to do, but you don't have to do it.
It's my oath. I have to follow through.
Okay. Look, this. I say we're going to have a debate. I actually think this is going to be more of a conversation, and it's one I've, I don't want to say put off, but I haven't done, because I wasn't sure if anyone really cared, and it's been requested on the We Speak Common Discord server, which you can join by now if you go to the description of this episode below. But so it's time to do it. It's time to talk about this, and
it's time to have the conversation.
I don't know if I'm ready. I think I am.
Did counterspell, Ben. You've done alignment. Now you have to step up to the bar and talk about this.
Yeah, so we need to talk about D&D Beyond.
Right.
I really, 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 really want to put right at the top of this and make this very clear that I think D&D Beyond is a fantastic tool. I think that when used properly by people who know how to play D&D, it's an incredible asset. Now, overall, this conversation, I'm going to give you reasons as to why I personally don't use it for certain things and why I think it's better to do things another way. But I just want to make it really clear that I think it's good, and I think if you like it, you should use it. But there are some things that you should do before you fully commit to it. And that's kind of where my final thoughts are going to end. Are there going to be, like, if you're going to fully commit to using a tool like D&D Beyond, and we're going to focus on D&D Beyond today because it's the most robust one and it's licensed by Wizards now, if you're going to go full into it, you should do some things outside of it before you do that. Okay? Does that make sense? Does that kind of set up where I'm coming from before we dive into this?
I think it makes sense.
Because I think you know what my thoughts are on this, right?
Of course, I've had endless conversations with you about this topic already.
Cool. So this topic is pen and paper versus D&D Beyond. And when we say pen and paper, we're talking about making a character sheet the way that comes in the back of the player's handbook, you know, piece of paper or on a PDF, that document, filling it out yourself, doing all the math yourself, writing it all yourself, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of both and why I prefer that method over a D&D Beyond character sheet. And the reason I've got you here, Sam, is because you are a prolific Dungeons & Dragons D&D Beyond user.
Yeah, I do like my D&D Beyond, and all of my players are on my D&D Beyond, and I feel like my campaigns would fall apart without it, honestly.
Okay. That's worrying.
No, not to that degree. I think it would just, for me personally, it would mean that I have to put a lot of extra work in.
Yeah, okay. So I think that's going to be the main pro of D&D Beyond, right? People are going to be like, oh, it's so easy, it's so quick. And actually, I had a brief chat with Ray about this the other day, and he said, oh, you know, if I really need to quickly roll up a character.
Oh, you've been master debating on the side?
Can we stop with that joke? I am going to never let you on the show if you say that one more time.
I apologize profusely. Like
every time you make a lewd joke, I'm going to push you back one episode. and I know what you're like. You won't be on the show for like a year.
All right. I love it.
Dad's putting his foot down. He will turn this car around.
Apologies. Big apologies.
Once I'll let go. Twice.
I'm not sorry.
But no, yeah. So we had a conversation about it, and he made a really good point of like, look, I will use it if I need to make a quick character, because making a character not the proper way, the traditional way, it takes time. And I get that.
Yeah. It's more efficient.
Well, yes and no. My argument is that you should only really make your characters on D&D Beyond if you know how to make a character yourself from scratch first. I find, and this is my big argument as to why I think pen and paper, doing it by the book, God, that sounds awful. Doing it the way the book says, first and foremost, is always better, because you learn your character in the sense that if a new player comes to me and says, hey, I want to play D&D, I want to make a character, I go, okay, cool, let's set some time aside and sit down and talk about what a character is and roll the stats and, you know, go through what they can do.
Because there's also that aspect when you're looking through the player's handbook and you're like, oh, I'm going to level up to level 5. Oh, what do I get at level 5? And then you look through what you get at level 5, where in contrast to that, sometimes when you level up through, this is me making an argument against the team I'm fighting for, it would just be like, oh, at level 5 I got this ability,
But this is, so I mean, that's the argument of like, oh, should I listen to MP3s or vinyl records? Vinyl records are much more tactile. You get to pull the vinyl out and put it on and put the needle down. Mm-hmm. It's got that crackle and like, oh, snobby. I'm a vinyl record player, so I'm allowed to say that person. Yeah. But my point is that as a first time player, or as someone who hasn't played much D&D, or maybe they've only had one or two characters, if you make it on D&D Beyond, it's like, select this from a drop-down list, select this from a drop-down list, select that from a drop-down list. Here's a character sheet with tabs and things, and they're all hidden in different places. The layout of the character sheet is another issue that I don't love, but we'll get into that.
Yeah,
so, but the point is, if you do it that way and you don't sit down and actually make a character, you don't know where your proficiency bonus comes from. You don't know why you've got a +6 rather than a +3. You don't know where that ability is and what it does and how to double-check the rules of it, because you didn't do it. So my point that I'm trying to make is sure, use D&D Beyond if you like it and if you like the layout of it and everything like that, but make characters the old traditional way, the proper way first, because that's how you're going to learn how D&D works from that side.
Yeah, I sort of look at it through the opposite lens, in the sense of sometimes when I'm introducing a new player to the game, surely because of how accessible D&D Beyond is, I've had a lot of players in the past that are overwhelmed by the idea of a character sheet and filling out a lot of this information and having to...
You can't tell me that a D&D character sheet is not overwhelming for a first-time player when you look at it.
A D&D Beyond one, I would say it's not as overwhelming, because the information is worked out for you. So all you have to do and know as a player for your first time specifically is, okay, I roll the d20, I add my modifier. Oh, there's the word perception. There's plus this.
Okay.
Got it.
Sure. So the actual creating of the sheet and the fact that it does the math for you, fine. Mm. But the actual layout and where they put information and the fact that they have things hidden behind different tabs and repeated, that's not a simple character sheet. And I don't think you're ever going to have a simple character sheet for something like D&D. It is a complex game.
Yeah.
Because it has to be the way with what we're trying to do with it. So yeah. But I get what you're saying. Oh yeah, a brand new player coming into the game, I might be like, oh, let's make your character on Beyond because it's quicker and easier and you'll find it more accessible. But my argument for me personally is that if I'm bringing someone into D&D for the first time, I've sat down with them and I've gone, okay, here's what D&D is. Here's how we play it. Like, we get together and there's a few of us and we have characters and blah, blah, blah. You know, I've had that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then I say, if we're going to play D&D, and you're going to join like a game, a long game, that's a commitment and I want you to learn how to play. But if you want to just try it, that's something different. And so then I'll decide how I'm going to do it. If they're just trying it for the first time, I'll make the character sheet for them and give it to them because they're just doing a one shot. They're just trying it. Or I'll give them a really simplified character or something like that because they're just testing the waters. If someone came to me and said, I've played a couple of one shots and I want to play my first campaign and I'm committed, I want to be in it. You know, it's going to last a couple of years. I want to play. I can't wait for the story. I'm like, cool. We're making your character sheet together the real way that our set up doing it manually, the manual way, I suppose I should say.
That was very much my first experience playing D&D as well. When I remember I was at college and we'd got the idea that we were going to play D&D together, but it was like, how do I do this? And I remember sitting down with the person who was DMing the game, sitting side by side with them and just going through all of the classes, all of the races, what type of character I wanted, and then filling out a sheet, like sitting next to each other, working out things together, where there's definitely, with D&D Beyond, there's definitely this more independent approach where things can then go wrong because I've had players in the past, for example, who will go to put their health in and they will put it in the override health thing, which then, because D&D Beyond is it's got like algorithms, it's got its own calculations for working things out, it messes up those calculations because it's not been input right, which causes its own issues. I think there's definitely, with D&D Beyond, you need to know how D&D Beyond works.
Well, not even that. You need to know how D&D Beyond works, but you also need to understand the stuff you're putting into it. It's like, at the end of the day, D&D Beyond is a tool and it's only going to work if you know how to use the tool, right?
Oh, so yes. Yeah.
It's like a calculator. My maths teachers always used to say to me, like, well, the calculator will always give you the correct answer. If it gives you the wrong answer, it's because you've not used the tool properly and you've put the wrong information in.
Yeah.
Like, so it's exactly the same as that. You have to, and this is where I come from with this whole thing of do the manual way a couple of times first, because, or have a really strong understanding of the rules, like have read the book and like know what it means, know where things come from, because otherwise something's going to go wrong and you're not going to know, or you're going to be confused by what you're seeing, and or the DM's going to be like, okay, do me this check and add this modifier, and they're going to go, what's that, where do I find that? And it's like, well, it's your character, like that's, you should know that stuff.
I think, and you can stop me if you think this is going off into too much of a tangent, but I think it is definitely a reflection of modern day D&D and the expectation of the DM to have all of the information and knowledge about the game and not the players, especially with the influx of these live shows and the accessibility given with D&D Beyond. It is now this expectation for the DM to know all of the rules, know all of this, know all of that. So you hear more problems nowadays, at least, about, you know, oh, my DM got this rule wrong or something like that, and we played like that for ages. And it's like, well, you can't expect one person to remember all of that.
There's definitely something in that, but I think it's more of a commentary on where 5e is at in popularity. There are so many more people into the idea of Dungeons and Dragons now. There's people like us who have been playing for, I mean, I worked out the other day, I've been playing for like 11 years. So, you know, I've been in this hobby for a long time. And there's nothing wrong with new people coming in, but because of the heightened popularity, because of things like even things like Stranger Things, like it's been in the zeitgeist a lot more. And I think because of that, there's a lot more of people coming in and not having the background knowledge that people like you and I have, who've been playing it for, you know, 11 years, 5 years, yeah, 4 years, even a couple of years, because we were those people too when we first played. There wasn't D&D Beyond. You had to work it out yourself and you had to learn. And that's why I advocate for people doing that, because then when you play, you know what you're doing. And that's a good thing. Like, it's a good thing. Again, though, it's tricky. There's no wrong way to play D&D. Sure, there are ways to play that I disagree with and won't play, because that's not what I want out of my tabletop role-playing experience.
Yeah.
And in the same way, and that's the same for you, that's the same for anyone. Way of playing is you're coming to play a game, you're coming to tell a story, you have as much understanding of how your character works as how I do, so that we're all having fun together and we're playing the game the way we want to play the game. You come and you get told how it all works and you just ask questions all the time. Like when people have been playing their same character, I'm not going to name any names out there on the popular streams, but when someone's been playing D&D for, I don't know, half a decade, and they've played one character particularly for maybe 2.5 years, and they still don't understand how an ability that they got at level 3 works, and they're now level 17. Like, that frustrates me. It's like, just read it and learn it. And then, you know, that hurdle that you're getting over hitting every time goes away. That's not a comment on D&D Beyond. That's just a comment of, like,
of sometimes
what can happen if you don't know.
Beyond makes on the player.
And not just Beyond. Again, we should say, like, there are others. Like, you can have digital character sheets on Roll20. You can have digital character sheets on all these different virtual tabletops. So it's not just Beyond. It's just, like, that's what we're talking about.
That brings a couple of, like, interesting questions to mind, just so I can sort of get an insight into...
Yeah, go for it.
Your perspective on it. What about... So, for example, what have you noticed that players like me, for example, who use D&D Beyond as their main thing, compared to, say, trying to think, as for example, Wesley at our table, who uses paper character sheets, is there a noticeable difference in terms of actual gameplay?
Yeah, so there is, but also we need to take all of this with a grain of salt, in the fact that every player is a different person.
Every player is different. Yeah.
And they have different skills, right?
Of course.
And the example I'm about to give is a tricky one, because Wesley's very good at this anyway.
Yeah.
But something I've noticed between, in the example, the two of you, but I've noticed in other people, is that Wesley, when he's being a player, feels a lot less constricted by his character sheet and his box. I noticed it with other players in our group. I'm not going to name people, but you'll probably pick up on some examples because you're in the group. But like, there are other players in our group that solely use Beyond. There are players in our group like that use Beyond and have used character sheets before in the past, because some they've people, played before.
Some people in our group make a character sheet and then back it up on Beyond.
That's what I do. Yeah. Right. Well, not to double check it, but I do that. And I'll get into that later when I talk about more of the pros of Beyond and how I think people should be using it. But so I find that Wesley is not constricted in any way to flavor things or describe things in certain ways try and break the box or bend the rules a little bit, because he's made his sheet. He's written it himself. He completely understands its limitations and its kind of loopholes, and off he can go. Whereas when you build the sheet on Beyond, I find for you, you're like, okay, I've got these cool abilities. How can I find places to use these abilities? Which isn't a bad thing. That's a good way to think because you've got these things, you want to use them. But you, I find the framing puts you more in that direction rather than the
I can sort of see what you're meaning in the sense of, so Wesley thinks, what do I want to do as a character? And then looks at their abilities of, how can I achieve this with the abilities that I have? Can I achieve this with the abilities that I have? Where in the opposite side of that, D&D Beyond has all of the abilities right in front of you, and you go, how can I use this interesting ability?
And I find, for me personally, when I think that way as a player, I end up getting disappointed because a lot of the abilities are situational.
Yeah, 100%.
So there are little examples and things like that, that I have noticed between people who do and don't use Beyond. I mean, ultimately with our group, there isn't that much difference because we all understand how to build characters because I've set that expectation.
Yeah. We've got a skilled network of players. And we've got We don't just use Beyond as a tool. We've got other tools that we use. We've got the books on us that we refer to and refer back to Beyond and stuff like that.
I want to make sure that it's clear that I'm not like setting this expectation that the players all know the rules because that you should know the game you're playing. It's because I'm going to make mistakes too. Like I'm human. I've been playing this game for so long now and things have changed over time and I might and just the fact that there's so many different rules, like sometimes
there's also like loads of homebrew rules and sometimes you don't know whether you're using a legitimate rule or you're using a homebrew rule
or if you just misunderstand one, like sometimes I'll pull a rule out of my ass and I'll be like, oh, is that right? And then we'll check it and it's right and I'll be like, oh wow, I'm so glad I remembered that. And other times I'll be like, oh, I think we do this but can we just check, or I'll go, oh yeah, you do this and then Ray or Wesley will be like, actually no, it's this and this, and then we'll double check and I'll be like, oh yeah, you're right, thank you for remembering.
Yeah, and then there's that conversation about, oh, because of that misinterpretation it's kind of broken, or you know, there are certain levels to it where misunderstanding the rules can lead to things not being as, you know, authentic. There's that certain like, oh, this now feels kind of wrong because we haven't played it to this.
You don't want to like retcon and stuff. I mean, we've talked about that before on episodes. So if you're in that situation, go and check it out.
Yeah, I've played in a game before where somebody has thought their counter spell, no matter what level it is, can just counter any spell.
Oh, God.
Which is like, you and Ray would love that one.
I don't even want to think about that today.
But What are your pros for pen and paper? Try and sell pen and paper to me because obviously I'm somebody who uses D&D Beyond as my main thing. I'm an experienced player, so I've been playing for a while, so I understand the game, I understand the rules. Try and sell me back to pen and paper. How am I going to find pen and paper more useful?
So obviously one of my pros is the understanding of the rules and knowing your character and all of that. We've been through that, right? So that's one thing. I feel like it's the best way to not only learn your character, learn how it works, but also understand D&D and the rules. So there's one thing.
Yes, 100%.
For me, pen and paper is better over a digital system. And when I say pen and paper, I'm using a D&D character sheet from D&D from DM's Guild. We as a group use the class specific character sheets. If you haven't checked them out, they're incredible. They pay what you want. We've been using them for years, so I have chucked money at the guy. They are so good and they're better than the standard sheet. So, you know.
Yeah.
But they're still a character sheet, right? I use a PDF on my computer because we play online.
Of course.
And when I make a character sheet, I will make it on the computer, and then if I'm playing in person, I'll print it out on like cardstock. That's my character sheet. That's how I use it. And I'll get a new one when I level up. And in the meantime, I'll pencil or pen and paper onto that sheet as we go. So for me, having that sheet format that I've built myself means that I am never restricted to do absolutely anything I or the DM want. There is zero reason for me not to have a cool homebrew item, a homebrew spell that's been agreed. There's zero reason for me to go to the DM and say, hey, you've just said this session, we've now got a week of downtime that we weren't ready for. Do you know what? Something that my character really wants to do is to learn how to use a sword a bit better. Can I spend my week furthering my training with simple melee weapons? And then he goes, yeah, absolutely. And then over time, I just tick the box to say, I now have proficiency with simple weapons. Like, it's so easy. It's so freeing to just be able to do whatever I want. And again, whatever I want with the DM, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's simple and effective. You just write it on or you wipe it off. Now, and I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, you can do that on D&D Beyond because you can create homebrew items and you can create homebrew spells and then you make them accessible for people and then you can do this and you can do that. It's so much faff. It's so much time. I spend 4 hours a week minimum prepping for a D&D game already. I am reading what I've rewritten. I'm reading the adventure module. I'm preparing encounters. Maybe I'm preparing a map if we're using a map. You know, I'm scheduling the party because as the DM, it's clearly my fucking job to be the administration. Like, you know, there's all this stuff that I have to do for this game. I have to make sure everyone knows when we're playing. Have they leveled up? Do they remember where we're at? Do they have their notes? Oh, someone's in person this week. Do they know how to get to my flat? Do we have snacks? You know, like all of these things. It's not just prepping D&D, right? I do not have time to also go on to D&D Beyond, create not only create an item, like, okay, maybe I've already made the item, so I just got to copy and paste it in. Fine, it's not that simple. Yeah. You've got to find where you do the item. You've got to put the item on. You've got to make the item accessible. You have to check that the math is right. You have to check that
almost
it fits.
Goes into its own... This is one of my strifes with homebrew on D&D Beyond, is almost to make it work, you have to understand game design. And you have to understand the algorithms that D&D Beyond uses, because if not, it's going to be a lot of trial and error. You're going to be sick. For example, you know the boons that you can get beyond level 20?
Right, they're just in the back of the DMG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really struggled with putting that onto a D&D Beyond character sheet.
Right, whereas eventually, with a standard pen and paper sheet, you just say, here's what you've got, write it down, there you go, you've got it.
Exactly. So to that degree, I do agree. And I think the homebrew system and the way of adding non-core, like, D&D content into a D&D Beyond game does become very tedious.
But this is the thing, right? You said about, like, oh, you've got to understand the algorithms that D&D Beyond uses. It's not even that level of it. There's the level below that where it's just there's so many steps to getting it on there and getting it right that it just takes time. And sure, if you've been building your campaign in D&D Beyond from the very beginning and you know how to use D&D Beyond and you've learned how to use the tool to its effective, efficient state, then you're probably sitting here going, Ben, you're being a little bitch. This is easy. This is simple. I do it all the time. It takes me 2 minutes. Fine. Yeah. But I haven't got the time to go and learn that new tool.
It's a whole new skill to work out and to get on top of, and then it's one of those things, and I feel like you've said this to me before, trying to get somebody who is very pen and paper orientated onto D&D Beyond doesn't make their games any more efficient.
No, because I know how to do it.
Because
I know what I'm doing.
You already know what you're doing, you already know how the systems work, and it's like driving an automatic your whole life and then suddenly getting in a manual. You still do the same thing, but
I actually think it's more the other way. I think it's more having driven manual your whole life, and then you get in an automatic, and suddenly it's like it's trying. You've been driving a manual car, and with you know, maybe the most high tech thing it has is that you have electric windows, right? And then you get into D&D Beyond, and it's like, hey, I've got a button to start the car, a button to turn the heating on, a button to turn the seat heater on, a button to open the windows, a button to turn the lights off. I've got a button to do this. Oh, your brake's over there. Oh, and don't worry about changing gears. I'll do all of that for you. Just sit back, relax, but pay attention and put your hands on the wheel and drive. Like it's like, okay, modern car. I don't need all of this. Just let me put petrol in, turn the engine on, and drive.
Yeah. So it's that difference in your or individual's access to D&D in the first place. I think because this is like when we talk about generation. So this is going to sound really bad. I don't mean to insult you here. Uh-huh. Take it with a grain of salt. But it's like when you try to teach a old person like how to use a phone.
No, I get that. I get that. I totally get that. And it's I know I could use D&D Beyond and I could enjoy it if I wanted to, but there are other barriers to it, right? This is the surface level stuff. And again,
the additional barriers come in with the monetary expense. Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that in a minute. Stop right there. We're not even starting on that yet. We'll get into that because that's a completely different thing. That's not about its usefulness. That's just a different thing. So
yeah. Of course.
I want to say as well before we move on that when I talk about like you can just be homebrew you should do that and you can put homebrew on your pen and paper sheet and it's easy. I'm not saying characters can't come to my table and use a D&D Beyond sheet. I'm more than happy.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah.
I'm more than happy for Sam to use a D&D Beyond sheet and I go, here's this homebrew item. Here's the handout for it. If you want to go and add that to D&D Beyond so it's on your D&D Beyond character sheet, you can do that. And I trust him to be able to do it right. Because he uses D&D Beyond all the time. Mm. I'm not going to take the time to do that because I don't build a campaign on D&D Beyond and I cannot be bothered. So, which sounds really bad, right? I can't be bothered, but it's not that I can't be bothered. It's I'm busy doing other things.
Yeah, there is other things that go into the prep that, you know,
that are more important. Like I need to actually prep the story and prep the game and the combats and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's that. But then the thing about like, we're not going to talk about this because it's not the conversation, but I'm going to touch on it because we've mentioned it now. The other barriers are simply like I was buying D&D books before D&D Beyond started. So then when D&D Beyond came around, I was interested in it, but then I was like, well, I don't want to buy my books twice. So no. I'm going to continue building my, and I like collecting them. So I'm going to continue buying them in physical format. Have I got PDF versions of books that I own? Yeah, because I like having access to them digitally on my phone and I like the layout of the books. I don't really love the layout that D&D Beyond presents for its content because I'm used to the layout of the books. And you're right, again, that's like teaching an old man how to use his phone. I could probably get used to it and I have in the past. I have read books on D&D Beyond, but I prefer the other way. So there's one other thing as well that's really important.
Yeah, I'll let you go.
You got to let me get this out, man. Otherwise, I'm going to bottle it up. There's the live service element of it, right? And this is a thing we're seeing everywhere. In video games, in D&D now, in bloody cars. Aldi are selling cars now where you pay a monthly subscription to have a heated seat.
Yeah.
Why? Ridiculous, right?
That's crazy.
If you want to sell digital content, I'm all for that. I love to buy, I've bought PDFs for D&D books before. I buy DM's Guild PDFs all the time. I love it. Great. Mm. What I don't like is live services where I don't have ownership of the content. On D&D Beyond, they can change something at any time. And if I loved that thing and I was using it, if I loved a certain piece of lore around, let's say the Drow, they had a lot of lore change and they've changed it in a book that I have access to.
Oh, well.
Well now I don't have that lore.
Yeah. Because you know? there were the amendments that they made with.
And it's like, what if they decide to go through and change all of the old stat blocks into the new stat block format that I don't like?
See, that's one of the interesting things. They did split them up into legacy and normal stat blocks, which was something that I genuinely worried about. I genuinely worried that they were just going to remove all of the old stuff from their system completely because they were like, oh, we're not using this anymore. So what's the point?
So what about this? What about, now we know that D&D editions long outlive their publications. People are still playing second edition. There are still people playing 3.5. There might be a handful of people playing 4th. I don't know why, but they are. You know,
silly people.
What happens in 2024 when the new evolution of D&D, as they've called it, is released and D&D Beyond evolves to support that? What happens in 6 years' time from now when they decide to no longer support 5e and all of that content goes? What happens to all of the money that you sunk into those books on D&D Beyond that you now no longer have access to? Is that a route they could take? Because legally, they could. We see it with video games all the time. I buy a £60 video game and 5 years later, they decide to turn the servers off. What if I love playing that game and I've played it every day for the last 5 years? Yeah. You know? And that's... I mean, that's an issue outside of D&D, right? But that's why I prefer to buy formats that can't be changed or that I have ownership over, like PDFs and like physical. And that's why I lean towards pen and paper, because they support that.
Yeah.
I feel like I sound like an old man who's like, oh, damn, kids got it so easy these days. But it's not that. I would love to have the time to use D&D Beyond. I don't want to put any money into it, really, because I've spent so much money with Wizards elsewhere on different formats that if I now spend loads of money on it, I'm just buying content that I already own, right?
You're just giving them the money twice.
And that's not me saying, Wizards, I hate what you're doing with D&D Beyond. This is a bad product. It's a great product. It's amazing to have a character on my phone. I have the D&D Beyond app. I can check things up on it if I need to, because I have access through content sharing with you and James.
That's one of the perks.
That's one of the perks. Yeah, this is why D&D Beyond's so great. I have a copy of my character, Orlo, on D&D Beyond. Is he complete? No, because he has some homebrew stuff. But is it enough that at the worst case, if I needed to run him and I didn't have access to my laptop, would I? Or, I mean, to be fair, I have a copy of my Orlo character sheet in my iCloud, so I can just get it on my phone. So I can run my character anywhere. But if I couldn't get my iCloud or I didn't have my phone on me, could I get on Beyond by logging in on someone else's computer? Yes, I could. Could I do that by logging in on someone else's computer via iCloud? Yes, I could. So that's redundant. But the point is, it has its pros and I'm all for using it. And I use it for things outside of character building and running a character, which is where I think D&D Beyond excels.
It's a really good DM tool, because you can instead of pulling a book off of a shelf and going, I need a demon for this next encounter.
I can just
search fiends, challenge rating, this, and it will give me a list of them.
Exactly.
And I can quickly click on the sheet, go, that stat block's too strong, and then move on to the next one. So
this is the thing, though, right?
For DMs, where it is an exceptional tool.
Our chat here today is about using it as a player, and this is why I lean away from it as a player. But I do want to highlight that it is a good tool, and it's great for other things for me, and for you that could be different. But my point is, learn how to do it without the tool's help first, so that you understand what the tool is doing. Sam, it's at this point that we should talk about our wonderful partners, because we've got into me being passionate and talking for far too long without saying a big thank you to the wonderful people that support us.
Who are they?
Well, I don't know if you've been around here for very long, Sam. There's this wonderful store called the Dice Dungeon. And if today you're sitting here going, wow, this conversation is really making me want to go and buy a physical copy of, I don't know, the Player's Handbook, for example, head to the description below, head over to the Dice Dungeon and check out their wonderful store, because not only do they have beautiful metal, resin, glass, I think maybe they got some crystal ones. I don't know. They got some amazing dice on there.
One day they're going to have bone dice.
Bone dice is, that's a worrying, what, like made of actual bone?
Yeah.
They exist. I know that you can get those.
Oh yeah. I just want them to do something.
You want Ben and Dave to sell bone dice.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben, Dave, you've heard it here first. Sam wants you to sell bone dice. But they also sell all of the books you need to run, play, learn, teach Dungeons and Dragons. So go and check them out. There's loads of other stuff on there too. You can get 10% off your entire order using the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout. So the more you spend, the more you save. And of course, you're supporting this wonderful podcast network. Actually, Dice Dungeon as well have recently posted on their Discord server about some fun stuff they've got coming up at the end of the year. I'm going to leave it there because I haven't actually checked with Ben and Dave if I can tell you what they're doing. But they have posted it on their server. So if you're not on their Discord server, go and check that out, because there's lots of behind the scenes stuff going on there all the time. And the last thing I want to say is, James was here this weekend and I saw in person the hollow dragon dice. Ooh. Oh my god, this, I didn't realize how gorgeous. Like, I saw them on the website, but actually holding them, oh my god, Sam, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then I said, I'm gonna have to get a set of these. And then Wesley went, I already have one too. So I was like, oh, god damn it.
Everybody's got one.
The other wonderful partners of this wonderful podcast that you're listening to are Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, D-S-C-R-Y-B, arrow.com on the end. That's their website. Describe is the place to go to help you improve your imaginary locations, your vocabulary, your explanations of what the monster looks like when it rips off the bugbear's head. Go over there, have a little search. They've got scenes for locations, monsters, spells, but they have sea shanties that have been written for use to in game. You can sing them or just speak them if you're not feeling singy songy. They've got scenes that you can read as a player, like I cast magic missile, I use my sword, I swing my axe, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the collection is growing ridiculously massive every single day. Over 7,800 scenes available right now to subscribing members, about 500 to 600 available for those of you who are just checking out what they do for free. You can subscribe using the code COMMON at checkout, COMMON, and it will get you 10% off every single month for the first 2 years that you are subscribed to Describe. Again, link in the description below. Supporting them supports us.
Hmm.
Okay. I feel like I'm on one today, so I'm going to apologise.
Relentless, Ben.
I just feel strongly about this because...
I believe I can tell.
I don't know. Tell me if I'm not coming across in the right way, because I just want to make sure that, again, and I'm going to keep saying it, it's a good tool and you should use it, but you need to understand where it's coming from.
The thing for me that I'm struggling to understand... I primarily use Beyond. I've only really ever done paper sheets when we've done things like one shots or, you know, we're at an in-person session. So I've wanted to do that as just the novelty of like, ooh.
Well, the one thing for me personally is I don't love when there's like tablets and phones all over the table.
No,
because
that's,
I've had players who just start scrolling through Tinder or start like looking at WhatsApp and I'm like, guys,
and you don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, and like there's a trust level there, of course, and that's a party by party thing. But I've had players do that, and I'm like, guys, I've put effort in, I've written this story, and we're all here together in this room. Let's where our feet are and be present and play some D&D. Like, this is fun. So, and like, there's that thing of like, oh, I've got my tablet on its little stand in front of me and it's just got the character sheet on and that's all it is. And I can tell when someone's just using a character sheet for their character, you know, the tablet for the character sheet, but
yes,
it's, I don't know, there's something about it. I just don't love there being devices everywhere. So there is that too, but that's an in-person thing, right? I think D&D Beyond for online games is fine. Great. Off you go.
Because me as a player, I use D&D Beyond for absolutely everything. If I'm looking up a rule really quickly, I will look it up on D&D Beyond. If I don't understand a part of my character sheet, I'll look it up on D&D Beyond and read the source book that it comes from. If I need a quick item, I quickly go in. If I, for example, with Casper, my new character, yeah, guys, I got a new character. I, instead of just putting in the all of the information, for now, I've just placed in a placeholder, put a random item in that it, like, doesn't affect the stats in any way, and have put an added note to that item of what the magical item would give me. So there are ways for me, at least, to be at the same level as somebody else who would play with pen and paper. And I've got my playing with D&D Beyond down to such a refinement that I would have the opposite problem of going back to pen and paper. I'm like, oh, this is frustrating. I can't just do the thing that I want to do because...
But I don't get that, though. I think the thing you're doing where you're putting in placeholder items would frustrate me as a player because I'm like, no, I want my character sheet to be right. I want it to have the item on it. I want it to have the effects on it. I want it to have... all the information. I don't want to have to jerry-rig it until I have the time to fix it up properly.
And, yeah, definitely.
And I actually think that the frustration coming back to pen and paper is more a frustration of, oh, I've got to do it myself, which is understandable, but there's no... I don't see why you'd ever come back to pen and paper and go, oh, I can't do something. You can do anything.
Yeah, it's just more effort.
But then is it? Because D&D Beyond is more effort for me because I don't use it. Like, is it really more effort? Or is it like, yeah, okay, making a character from scratch will take longer.
It then goes back to that we've both learnt the game differently.
Yeah.
Because I learnt using D&D Beyond as a tool. You've learned using pen and paper as a tool. Me going to pen and paper is, it's possible, I can do it. It's just less efficient for me as a player.
But that's the same with anything in life. If I start using a different editor tool, it's going to be less efficient than the one I know how
exactly.
to use.
Exactly. So
tool.
It's the same for you, where it's like you come onto D&D Beyond, you haven't learned it in the same way. It's possible you can use the tool. It can be playable,
It's not that I haven't learnt it. I have learnt it. I know how it works. I'm fully proficient with it at this point.
Right.
I just don't like it now. I just don't like it. I don't love how it looks. I don't love how it feels. I like to have a sheet in front of me. I like to have my I don't like rolling digital dice. I like to roll my dice.
I hate that. That's something So this might be slightly separate. That's something I've never liked about the Avray Discord bot. Something I've not liked about D&D Beyond is...
It's a Roll20 thing as well.
Virtual dice. I don't like it. Yeah. I know that I can see as a DM exactly what the number is, but I'm like, it just doesn't... It's the main part of the game.
I don't need that. I don't need to see what you're rolling. We have a level of trust, and I'm going to trust you, and I'll know if you're fudging dice. We can work it out, and you know, or if you've been getting away with it, and I find out you've been fudging dice, that's one way to leave my table. You know, like that's not why we're not playing to win. We're playing to tell a story, and the dice facilitate that. But for me, it's not even the. Like, oh, I don't like it because it's digital. It's just like, I like to roll my dice because I've got nice, beautiful dice. I've got these, like my Shadowfell dice from Dice Dungeon. I love looking at them. I love getting them out and rolling them. And in a world where I've now moved across the country and our game that we were playing every day, every week in person has completely migrated to online. And don't get me wrong, I think it's bloody efficient and it's bloody good online. It's so 100%. Good.
Yeah.
But I still want to have that feeling of I'm playing D&D, not I'm sat in front of a computer. So I like to have my dice tray. I like to roll my dice. You know, because that's very innately Dungeons and Dragons for me.
That's preference.
Exactly. And this is the thing. This whole conversation is going to come down to preference. And at the end of the day, it comes down to what I said at the start of the show. D&D Beyond is a tool. And if you know how to use that tool, if you're comfortable with it and you enjoy that over pen and paper, because I enjoy pen and paper over Beyond, then great, amazing. 100% use it as a player character sheet, you know, kind of scenario. But my one thing is that you should have at least made a character. Like if you're listening to this and you're like, oh yeah, I use D&D Beyond, I've never made a character, but I feel like I know where all my stuff comes from. Fine, great. But everybody, I think, playing D&D should go away and make one character from scratch. Do it. Set a couple of hours aside, read the book, and do it by scratch. And just work, like go through filling out the sheet. Like it's gonna be a slog and it's gonna be shit because you've never done it before. Whereas like right now, I now have a system. I'm like, okay, racial bonus, note that, cool, numbers, boom, 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 boom. I need my racial traits, yep, boom, 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 done. Proficiencies, tick, 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 cool. Appearance stuff, I'll do that later. Let's get the maths out of the way. Items, this number of dice, this number of hit points, this modifier, which comes from here and here, which is this plus this. DC, cool. Proficiency plus stat plus this, cool. Done, in. Like, I know all of that. If you've never done that before, if you've just made a wizard, for example, or a sorcerer, and it's gone, here's your spell save DC, and when you get a new proficiency bonus, it's going to go up by one. You're going to be like, well, my proficiency bonus is only two. Why is it 18? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, or something stupid.
Yeah.
Go and make a character. Even if you're not going to use it, just make one, please, because you're going to understand your character better. You're going to understand how it works better. And then when the DM says to you, oh, cool, okay, what's your spell save DC? And you go, oh, it's 15. And they go, 15? What's your modifier? And you go, what one? Like, do you know what I mean? For me, that's like, okay, I want you to have that level of understanding because...
It's important to know where things are coming from. And the grander thing here is you've got the calculations done, but you don't understand any of the working out.
Well, it's like, but you're not going to play football without knowing what the offside rule is. No. Like, do you know what I mean? You're not going to play football and not know how, or like, okay, because we're talking about maths, you're not gonna play FIFA and not know which characters, that's a weird phrase to use, which players are better at striking and defending because you don't understand where their numbers come from. Do you know what I mean? Like, for you, okay, Sam, how about an F1 analogy, right? You're not gonna play F1 2022 and pick Haas and not know why you're not getting in the points every race.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, we're playing a game. Like, you got to know how it works. You're not going to pull out snakes and ladders and then ask why you've got to slide down a snake and go up a ladder and not go down a ladder and up a snake. Like, that's not the game. Oh, God. I just flicked my book.
It's getting aggressive now, guys. Just book everywhere.
Let's not paint the picture of someone who's standing on a soapbox and shouting about how shit Beyond is, because that's not what I'm doing.
No.
And I do just want to find, I know I rambled here and I've not really spoken for like a hot 5 minutes, Sam, but the thing I do want to say is when we're not talking about player character sheets, I think Beyond's great. Yes, there's the issue of the fact that I don't own all the content purely because I own it in physical form. If I didn't own all of the books in physical form, I would, apart from the live service thing, I would consider buying them on Beyond. But because I've got them all physical, I just don't want to spend the money twice, you know?
Yeah.
But as a DM, being able to go on and just search up a stat block and there it is, or go on and search up a spell and there it is, that's super helpful. That's so incredibly helpful for on-the-fly stuff.
And we're also fortunate in the sense where we have a lot of friends that are dedicated to D&D who own a lot of the content anyway, so they just share it with us.
I mean, look at James. James owns both physical and digital. And he's happy doing that, and he's happy to share it with us via content sharing in a campaign. So that's great. That's great stuff. I get access to a lot. I mean, but then at times there's stuff I don't have access to. So no one owns Tomb of Annihilation because I'm the one running it. So I can't search any of the Tomb of Annihilation stuff on D&D Beyond, which is frustrating. I don't want to go and buy it again. I've already got it here.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the encounter builder is good fun. And helpful. The ability to search stuff is helpful. The ability to read up quick lore is helpful. You know, the ability to look at other people's characters. As much as I don't love the layout, I can look at Sam's character if I want to. Great, that's helpful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one of those. It's one of those debates where I less so than the alignment conversation. It can go on forever because it's
it does preference.
Fall, yeah, it does fall back into, oh, well, it's just what you prefer.
Which is fine. And go on.
I think no matter what, especially when teaching a new player the game, we're going to teach them the way that we know. We're going to help them in the way that we understand. So people entering the game through us are going to learn through the way that we've learned.
Yeah. I mean, there's accessibility issues with it as well. Like, D&D Beyond is easier for people with, like, sight issues, for example, but then again, it's not perfect. No, nothing really is.
It's also easier for those who are dyslexic because it means that there's not an overwhelm of information to get through.
Again, I think that's personal because as I'm dyslexic and I don't find that personally.
Fair.
I actually find the reverse purely because, and this is how I deal with it, and this is why I don't love the layout of a digital sheet, is that with my pen and paper character sheet, I have my front sheet, which is all my stats, and I have my back sheet, which is all of my flaws and all of that. And then I have my own personal sheet that I write that has any extra information I want, and maybe I've got a spell sheet if I'm playing a wizard, right?
Yeah.
Cool. 2 to 3 sheets of paper, everything I need for stats, page 1, everything I need for roleplay, page 2. Done. Mm. On D&D Beyond, it's a different layout. It's you have to go through tabs, and things can be listed in 2 places. You have to go and edit the character to change the spells out. It makes sense. I get it. But for me, I like having everything visually accessible straight away, like in front of me. I don't like having to go through tabs to find things.
Yeah.
That, and again, that's preference.
I can get that. Yeah.
And I don't know how you would make a digital sheet that had everything visually like that, unless you did it the way I'm doing it with like the PDF.
Hmm.
I don't know. I feel like there is no answer here. This is purely a discussion, right? It comes down to preference. But the one thing that I believe is that once you've found your preference, that's great. But an understanding of how
the
rules and the game works and how that's being translated into the format you're using is so key.
How values within the game work is integral as well.
Yeah, I mean, not if you've been playing for 3 weeks and you're, you know, doing Lost Minds of Phandelver with an experienced DM who's just teaching you, like, giving you the experience of D&D. But if you're going to play in a full campaign, like, our campaign's been going on for 5 years.
Hmm.
If we were playing this game for 5 years and you didn't know how to calculate your spell save DC, I'd be slapping you around the back of the head and going, fucking read the player's handbook, Sam, come on.
You silly Billy.
Because we've been playing this game for 5 years. You should know how your spell save DC is calculated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's a core part of your character.
It's also a thing that changes and fluctuates.
Exactly.
You get a new ability score increase, your thing will change. Spell save DC will change.
Yeah.
It's knowing why. Why does that change?
I don't know if I've... I don't know if I've made a good argument here. I also don't know if I don't know if I've put across clearly the pros and cons of either. I think I've made my opinion very horribly well known. I don't dislike D&D Beyond. I just don't like using it as a player.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I think I need to stop talking.
Whereas on the contrast, I love D&D Beyond, and I love using it as a player.
Yeah. I think the one takeaway, as I've said this so many times now, but like the thing I want people to think about from this episode is, okay, what do I use and why do I like it? And should I go experiment? Because if you're a pen and paper person, 100% you should go and look at D&D Beyond and experiment with it and see what you think. Do it. Go and experience it. And vice versa, if you're sitting there going, I've only ever used D&D Beyond, maybe Ben's right, maybe I should go and try and make a character. Do it. Experience it. Try it. Try everything once unless it's going to hurt someone, you know? That's my rule in life. Try everything once unless it's going to hurt someone.
Well, this is a conversation that will inevitably...
Yes. Well done.
thanks, Ben. Thank you for affirming it's a conversation. No. This is a conversation that will inevitably continue in our lovely, lovely Discord server.
Oh, look at you setting it up, doing the hard work.
I know, but it will. We're going to, you know, continue this conversation on. And what is great about this Discord is that we're going to see a load of different perspectives. You're not just going to hear just me or just Ben. You're going to hear other faces who will... Some will shout for pen and paper. Some will shout for D&D Beyond. And if you want in on that...
is the other day someone actually came on and said after an episode, I don't think I've disagreed with Ben this much ever before. And that was great.
Yeah.
That was great to see.
It's so interesting because you see all these new perspectives and you get a wider idea of how different things can happen in D&D. So from this conversation, I think it's been great And I think we're just going to continue talking about it. So get involved, jump into the Discord, join this conversation. Tell us what you play.
There's a link to join the Discord server in the description below. It's on all of our social medias. And if you do want to drop us a message or say hello, at We Speak Common on Twitter, at We Speak Common on Instagram, We Speak Common Pod on Facebook, and We Speak Common at hotmail.com if you want to drop us an email. Yeah, Hotmail still exists. Did you know that? Come and say hello. Hang out on the server. You get access to the public chat room, access to the episode discussion room. And if you want more access, like places to hang and sit and chat like this in the vibe zone, listening to good music, playing good games, or even more things like the advice bureau or the homebrew section, or maybe even the topic suggestion channel where we take topic suggestions, then head over to the Patreon. There's a link to that in the description of this episode below too. Oh, Sam.
Ben.
I don't know how I feel. I think I need to lie down and a stiff drink.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I need to go and try D&D Beyond again.
I would like that. I think it would be fun. And I think showing you some of the shortcuts might be helpful.
Shortcuts in inverted commas.
Yeah, shortcuts. I think... We need to, I need to go to pen and paper with some fresh eyes and start from scratch again. And I think you need to jump onto D&D Beyond with some fresh eyes and go, okay, I'm gonna take this seriously. I'm gonna play this seriously. And then when you come to a hurdle and you're like, for fuck's sake, that's where you're like, okay, this is why.
Yeah, reaffirm my belief. All right, thank you for joining me today, Sam. It's been this has been quite cathartic. Thanks for letting me basically rant to you.
Oh, it's, you know, I'm a ventilation system. What can I say?
All right, buddy. See you later.
Thank you very much. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common. The network theme is Street Dancing by Timecrawler82 and is held under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. You can find it on the Free Music Archive.